So in going along a little bit with today's message, and we're going to be in the book of Joshua chapter 10 again, picking off pretty much where we left off last time, but the verse in this last song that we sang related a little bit to what the Lord's been laying on my heart over these last weeks as I've been contemplating chapter 10 of the book of Joshua. And I pray that there's just a little bit comes across on how much the Lord has impressed upon me as I've gone through this chapter. The Word of God, it seems, what a miracle this book is, that we can pick it up and it can be new every time, practically. It's everlasting. You know, it's an otherworldly book. And there's no book like it, of course. Now, devotions are wonderful. What usually makes them wonderful is they have some exposition of a section of the Word of God. But nothing replaces the Word of God itself. But this verse says this in the song, "Dark is the stain we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is a flowing crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today." So again, I want to say, starting this message, and I'm not ashamed to say this, I have a goal. And I have a goal that we're encouraged in Christ Jesus. Is that a bad goal?
No.
No, we need to be encouraged in the Lord. And that's what He's about. He wants to straighten us. He wants to correct us. But He wants to, and He has given us great hope. And so I'm going to title the message right away off the bat, so Jan, you have no question about it. It's called Five Kings in a Cave. Might be a little bit unusual, but this is what the Lord's impressed upon my heart as we go through. Now, last time we said, and we began with Psalm 144, verse 1, and it applies to every one of us. Psalm 144, verse 1 says this, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Now, we started the book of Judges on Friday night, and I'd like us to turn there to the book of Judges quickly. Right after Joshua. The beginning of chapter 3. Now, these are the nations with the Lord left, this being the key part, that He might test Israel by Him. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. That was so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at the least those who had not formerly known it. So believe it or not, and we alluded to this last time, I'm not going to allude to it as much this time, God is training us for war. These things that are in the book of Joshua, that are in the book of Judges, that are in fact, of course, the entire Bible, as our brother said last weekend, they're here for our instruction. They're here for our learning. They're here for our encouragement, that we might, in fact, I don't quite have it memorized or written down now, that we might have hope, I believe it is, in the Scriptures. But there's so much more here. The Lord left enemies to test Israel by them. Now, this is not going to be too comfortable for me to say. It may be dispensationally in a lot of Christian circles, this statement will not be accepted, but I'm going to say it because I believe it's the proof. It's in the Word of God. It's here, and I can see it over and over again in the New Testament. What God did with them, He does with us. He test, we know the Scripture says. What does the Lord test? He tests the hearts and the minds of His people. Now, here's the strange thing about that. I don't for a second believe that God doesn't know our hearts and our minds. But I believe He's testing us so that we would see what's in us. You see? And we'd be willing to come to the light, so to speak. He knows. He knows all things. Nothing is hidden from His sight. And there are enemies that are left that need to be destroyed. Now, that's not necessarily a popular message. Let's go right away to Joshua chapter 10. To the end of the book. Verse 40 says this, "So Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country, the south, the lowland, the wilderness slopes, and all their kings, and he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed as the Lord God of Israel had commanded." Now, I was listening to actually a ministry, which I'm finding pretty encouraging. Just Kathy and some others told me about it, and Jan. It's just they're quick drawings and synopsis of stories through the Bible, and for the most part, they're wonderful. But they made an egregious error, in my opinion, when they did a quick overview of the book of Joshua. You know what they said? They said when God said that Joshua literally destroyed every breathing thing, like in the city of Ai and in Jericho, he didn't really mean it. Because there's enemies in the land that we see in the book of Judges. Trust me, when God says he destroyed every living thing, we take it on good account and a good authority, the word of God. It's not a pleasant thing to think about, but he destroyed every living thing, just as God said. Now, here's the thing. A different verse read today, which is similar, but I want to turn to, real quick, Deuteronomy chapter 9, I believe. And we'll just glean from this again to stay with the main message. Beginning at verse 5. "It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go into possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out before you, that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to our fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And I don't know if it's NIV, but a different version I read, "that he might keep the oath." I like that one. And when we look at the Israelites and we look at how severe God was, these things are here for our instruction in our new covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus. They're here for our benefit, the scripture says in the book of Corinthians. And I like what our brother Dan, Dan didn't put it quite like this. We have a brother, a Jewish brother, who teaches at our Bible study on Friday nights. And he has certainly a much more Jewish perspective than us. And it's been a pleasure to have him meet with us. And I can't even remember how many years Dan's been meeting with us now. It's been so many. Maybe 7 years or so. Quite a few years. But he said, and he's a Jew, he says, what makes the Jewish person special is that the Messiah came through them. And that's what he said makes them special today. Now think of that. Another commentator, I've been going through the book of Joshua, put it this way. What made God's people special is that always he was looking forward to Bethlehem, Calvary, and Pentecost. He was looking forward. It's always about his son. And with us, isn't it the same? With us, it's about him forming the character of his son in every one of us, of every one of his dearly beloved. And we are his beloved. And I was contemplating this section of the Bible, which I consider quite amazing. What isn't? But, you know, I started thinking, I said, there's a lot of caves in the Bible. You know, we could have a Bible study just on caves. You know that? And there's so many caves, and there's so many stories about caves in the Bible. And this is just one of them, but I think this is a fairly significant one. I'd like us to turn to which I would consider a more significant cave. Let's go to John chapter 11. Mm. and I really can't read all this. So again, I'm going to glean and try to glean with purpose and focus related to Joshua chapter 10. But I called it homework, and some people did it. But I'm going to call it fellowship work. Because, you know, we're fellowship work. And that would be to read all of, maybe when you get home today, read all of chapter 11, all the way through chapter 12, of verse 11 of this story. Because it is such an amazing story. But I'm just going to pick up in verse 25, and I'm going to glean some verses here. Jesus said to her, some of these are familiar, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jump over to verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave. I love that. And it was a cave. And he came to the tomb, and a stone lay against it. Verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, listen, I am encouraged to possibly preach on this section again. I'm sure there's been many sermons right here on it, but very encouraging. And then again, verse 43. Now, when he said these things, he cried out with a voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, that's verse 43, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. But the key verse that the only thing I really want to, or the main thing I want us to look at is that right here, is Lazarus come forth. Now, just a little background to this story. After this went on, and maybe some of you read it today, but you know what the Jews said after Jesus called Lazarus? He was dead 4 days in this cave. You know what the Jews said about Jesus after this? Test your Bible knowledge quick knowledge. Nope. But what they said is, we can't let this guy go on like this. The whole world will believe in him. If we allow this guy to continue, they're going to take our nation away. The Romans will. We'll have nothing. Because everybody's going to believe in him. And we know there's more to this story. But this story was so foundational, really, I believe, to the testimony of who Jesus was, that it wasn't enough that they sought to kill Jesus after this incident. This is really the thing that really put them over the top. Now he's worthy of death, right? Did this great miracle. Who else did they want to kill then? They want to kill Lazarus because he testified, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Now listen, I believe with all my heart, God has done this for every believer. And every believer, God has called us as a Lazarus from the cave. First Peter puts it this way. God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I barely know my wife's middle name. I do. I know my children's middle name. I know my father's middle name. I know my mother's middle name. It's a security question on the internet. And I actually know the Pike's kids' middle names, because when Tom would get mad at them, he'd go, Amy Sarah Pike. You can't forget it. Now, my David grew up with their John, I often hear John Beckett Pike. And it usually meant trouble. Now, I don't know Reed's middle name because he's the baby and you got to love him. It's just I don't. I don't remember hearing Tom say his middle name. Oh, there you go. That's right. Thank you for straightening me out. But here's the point. I believe that when I look around this room, see, I know John saying here, right? But I know what his real middle name. It's really Lazarus. Because God has called him out of darkness to his marvelous light. Every single child of God has a testimony about his life being called. This is why we have to give testimony. We're out here in the world, even if we're horrible at it. I'm not so good at it. My wife is, I don't know if there's anything close to a natural, but this is a gift of hers that she can share with other people. But you see, when God is training our hands for battle, or for war, and our fingers for battle, it's imperative that we have a, like that song says, a blessed assurance. We have an assurance of our calling. That's foundational for us to be able to know how to battle. So let's go to Joshua chapter 10. There's our short introduction. Starting at verse 16. And we'll read all the way through verse 27. But these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makkadah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave of Makkadah. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. And do not say they're yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Then it happened, while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of the slaying of them with a very great slaughter, till they had finished, that those who had escaped entered fortified cities. And all the people returned to the camp, to Joshua, at Makkadah in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought out those five kings in from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with them, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord God will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward, Joshua struck and killed them and hung them on five trees. And they were there hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remained until this day. Now be praying as we go through this section. This stuff only happens by grace that the preacher preaches and that the words even come out right. But I'm burdened about this, and I pray the Holy Spirit writes this on our hearts, what I've been looking at here. Starting at verse 17. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in a cave. And to me, Luke 8:17 says this, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not come to light. Verse 18, Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of this cave, and he set men to guard it. 4:5 says this, therefore judge nothing before the proper time. wait until the Lord comes. Now, I'm going to say that in this chapter, I'm looking at Joshua as a type of Jesus. I see this picture very clear in this chapter, is at least how I'm looking at it for the message today. He will bring to light what was hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. So the Lord Jesus, our Joshua, brings things out of the cave, so to speak, in due time. And the kings, these enemies, are in the cave, is the picture. And these kings, if they're not dealt with over time, will be hindrances for us possessing the land. And we know, and that's part of the reason we read from John 11, is that possessing the land is walking into in the resurrected, in the new life in Christ Jesus. That's what it's a picture of walking in Canaan. But there's enemies that remain in my life, in your life, in our life, even corporately in the house of God, that we must learn how to battle them. And sometimes these enemies lurk in the cave, and they come out, to be honest. I mean, I'll be honest with you right here. My wife can attest. One of the ones I have trouble with occasionally, I think I've got it all taken care of and under control. And all of a sudden, anger will come out of the cave, so to speak. And I'll see that it's quite alive. It's not quite dead yet. And we could name these things. The Holy Spirit puts his fingers on these things in our own lives. And if you're thinking now, boy, this message is for brother so-and-so, we're probably looking at it wrong. Because this message is not. It's just for us corporately, and then it's for us individually. It's not for us to look through our periscope at some other brother or sister. But, you know, we could say what these things are specifically. Who knows? But they're things that are enemies to the growth of God's church and the individual believers. But these things are locked up in a cave. And sometimes when we come out and we do these things, we get under, you know, maybe anger flares up or whatever it is, we can get under awful condemnation. And we, you know, can start, I mean, if it really gets bad, we can even start doubting our insurance, the assurance of our calling. Every Christian who's honest will admit that at least once or twice in their Christian life, they've struggled with that thought. Now, that doesn't mean it's genuine, but I'm just saying this is something we've struggled with. But this is no coincidence, in my opinion, that there's five kings here, and they hung on five trees. And we know in the Word of God, what is five, the number five, represent? Grace. In the tabernacle, there's five, five, fives everywhere, over and over again. I mean, you can start with the laver, five words. The blood, five words. The cross, five words. The altar, I mean letters, excuse me, not words, letters, excuse me. Five letters, right? It goes on and on. The first five books of the Bible. I mean, I'm not big into numbers. If I was Joshua Chin, the message would end now and it would continue just on fives. But it is a great picture of God's grace. Without God's grace, we're not going to be able to battle these kings, so to speak. So what are we talking about? Some people are probably scratching their heads a little bit now. I think what we're talking about when we're looking at what's hidden in this cave is the practical sanctification of the believer. And there's lessons here for us to learn how to fight. And the second one, which I would say, is verse 19. Do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack them on your rear guard. Do not allow them to enter your cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Now, this is a beautiful picture. God's grace, we're here together today. God's grace, wherever people are meeting, around the world, wherever it is, that's God's grace, that they're standing together. And that does something. There's a practical sanctification that happens. Now, sometimes we can't deal with things that we even see. Now, there's things we see that we can't deal with sometimes, but there's things that are hidden from us that are in the cave that sometimes even the most intentioned Christian's not ready to handle that king that's going to come out of the cave, so to speak. But here's what we can do. We can do what our Joshua tells us to do. Go battle with the people of God. Now, have you ever been so low? You've been under guilt. You've been under condemnation. You've been low because maybe the Lord showed you something. Maybe he showed you one of these kings, and you realize that I don't have the strength to deal with this. This is way beyond me, way bigger than me. I can never win this battle. God tells you, go to the Bible study. Go to the prayer meeting. You go, and what happens? All of a sudden, the problem's not so big. All of a sudden, God touched you by your presence, his presence. You got quickened. Now, all of a sudden, you went in defeated, and you leave, and you say, you know what? Now, with God, somebody even said it here in their prayer today, with God, I can do anything. I can leap over a wall. I can run against a troop, as the scripture says. Now, the perspective is all different. Nothing changed with the circumstances, but God changed our vision. This is the power of us meeting together. This is the power of us battling together. Now, this is very important. And it's been said here a few times already, and it's probably going to be said many more times what Lance said to us right before he died, really. And to me, what he said was as powerful as anything he had preached, he said, in just a couple of minutes. And he said, he was talking about a lot of people in America, let's just put it that way, young adults, some of them, but how many Christians have been taken captive by the enemy? It's like they've been, it's like they've been kidnapped by satanic forces, is I think the word he used. I could play it. I've got it saved on my phone. I'm not losing it. It's in the cloud. it was pretty powerful. But here's the thing. You know, when Abraham, we know the story of Abraham going and rescuing Lot, right? We always think Abraham. But you know what the word is hidden in there? Who went with Abraham? His trained servants. We all are God's, by God's grace, we're his trained servants. And we need one another to battle for things that we can't face alone. And most things, if we're honest, we can't face alone. We don't have the resources to do it. We need the whole house of God. So, let's look at verse 22. 21, we'll read 21. All the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkadah in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave." Now there's a time for everything. Joshua called the children of Israel to go fight together and to stand against the enemy. Now's the time to come back and deal with these kings in the cave. And these kings can be anything, like we said. Anything. There are endless amount of kings in this nation, in our hearts, and actually the devil himself makes himself out to be a king. and they're all enemies of us possessing the land, of walking just on plain resurrection ground, walking in the liberty that the Lord has bought us. So, the first two, and if you want to write these down as you can, the first two things which train our hands for war and our fingers for battle are the assurance of our calling, Him calling us by name from the grave cave, so to speak, which He has done, and that us meeting together as the people of God, us battling together instead of going about it alone. We know it's the enemy's plan to isolate. We can go through the Bible. We don't have time right now, but there's stories of this exact thing, people being isolated, left towards the back and being picked off. But there's more here. So Joshua, verse 24 says that when he brought out those kings to Joshua, that Joshua called for the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, "Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings." And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Now, I read that for a little bit of emphasis. Here's the thing. And we know this to be true. And it's the truth of the scripture. God needs our cooperation. And can I even say this? I don't even like this word because I think obedience comes out of faith, but He needs our obedience. When God calls us and He says, here's the thing, here's the time, put your foot on the neck of this problem. It might be one you know. It might be one that we're just learning that we've got a problem with thing for the first time. But God needs our cooperation. Our part is to lift our foot and to put our foot on the neck of the enemy. I believe that there's a chance, at least, that the Apostle Paul got his inspiration from a verse from this section of the Bible. You know, Paul was quite a student of the Bible, of course. I mean, he was, of course, anointed by the Holy Spirit to write all that he wrote, but he knew the Bible well. So in Romans chapter, the last chapter, it's chapter 16, verse 20. Paul says this, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." The God of peace. But see there? There's the cooperation again. Under our feet. God needs some participation. Because the problem is sometimes, I have to be honest, and I'll just apply it to me. That's always the easiest. Sometimes we love things that are hidden in a cave. We don't think we do. And sometimes we think, well, I know what's hidden in that person's cave. But a lot of times if we have that attitude, of course, we've got the bigger problem. We got the bigger speck in our eye, sort of speak. But God knows. And He has a way of bringing everything to the light, as the scripture says, in its due time for judgment. Now look, if we're going to go, and we know this to be true, if we're going to make progress in the Christian life, God's going to bring us back over and over and over again to the same issue, if it has to be, until we're willing to put our foot up and put it on the neck of what the problem is. That's the testimony of my life. But here's the wonderful news, and it is good news. We don't do the killing. Our Joshua, the Lord Jesus, as it says here in the book of Romans, the God of peace, the Lord Jesus, our peace, the person of our peace, will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Sometimes, though, God has to wait until we're mature enough. That's a testimony of my own life, is we're mature enough to lift our foot and willing to put it on the neck of a problem that we know we have. And then by faith, allow the Lord Jesus to destroy it. So the third thing we would say is that God needs our cooperation. As he's teaching us how to battle, he needs our cooperation in this. He does the killing, but he needs our cooperation. So verse 20, let's get through this. I'm going to, Lord willing, finish this early. Verse 25 through 26. And Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong of good courage, for thus says the Lord, the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight." And afterward, Joshua struck them and killed them and hung them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until evening. And it's as if Joshua himself caught fire. He knew this is what the Lord's will was to do. It wasn't, I don't think killing is ever anything easy to do. But this was something, it was according to God's will, and it's a picture that's for our instruction. And Galatians 3:13 says this, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" And that's from the book, I believe, of Deuteronomy. Book of Revelation chapter 12 says, "They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and loving not their life to the end." And we know when we're talking about a practical sanctification, we know there's a sanctification that happens what? The moment we're called from that grave cave. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, by faith, we've been sanctified in Christ Jesus. So from God's perspective, it's a done deal. But there's a practical sanctification. And this is what I'm alluding to today. And here's the thing. Why would Joshua have to be so cruel to not only kill him, but then to hang him on a tree all day long? Well, I'd say it's for our instruction. It was for the children of Israel's instruction. It's for our instruction. And these things, unless we're willing to allow God to kill them and hang them on a tree, so to speak, somehow they have a way of coming back to life. I might sound a little nutty, but I believe that's the truth of my own life. But here's the deal. And here's the deal about hanging on the tree, and we know what this verse says in Galatians, is that Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us, for cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, this is very important. I know so many of us have come into this light, and God's given us grace to see this, and this is more important truth and principle than almost the air we breathe. But if we don't see that we truly died with Christ, that those things that God brings into the light, that we can bring him to the cross of Jesus, that we died with him there, and that's where they have to die. There's no other place they can go. And we have to see it. They have to hang in broad daylight all day long. It's something we have to perceive. It's something by God's grace we have to pray about. We have to really pray that we see that our identity is in Christ. We have to really pray that we see that we've died and our life is hid with Christ. It has to, like one brother, I think Phil said it last week, it has to travel the inches from our mind into our heart, so to speak. Hebrews 10:4 puts this way. "He has by one offering perfected those who are being," see the active verb, "who are being sanctified." This is the object of his sanctification. And it takes a lot of grace, but I'll tell you, for any Christian, if we're trying to do it on our own strength and we don't realize that that's where our sins go to die, they're not going to die. That's my testimony. They will not die unless we see our identity right there at the cross of Christ. They will live. In fact, that's the testimony of the world. I read it here this week. They'll tell you that an alcoholic, you can never be cured of this. It's impossible. I read it this week. It's impossible if you're a drug addict. It's impossible if you're an alcoholic. Well, for that matter, if you're a food addict or you're an, you know what the new one is for this generation? Internet addict. Social media addict. You don't think that's a problem? Go read this right now. They're coming. You know what's going on, springing up all across the country? Rehabs for people that have dropped out of school, dropped out of their jobs. You know why? Because they can't put down the social media and the Instagram or the Facebook or whatever it is. These things are springing up all over the country. Rehabs where they get away from social media. Pretty scary. But listen, we know the truth of the scripture, and things can go to die somewhere. And they can go and die on the cross, so to speak. It's the testimony of many alcoholics, many drug addicts. It's the testimony of us, quite frankly, because we're no different than any of them, that when we have had a problem that has plagued us for years, and we saw that our identity was at the cross of Christ, we got a wonderful liberty and a victory over a thing, quite frankly, that was impossible to kill. But only Joshua can kill it. You notice here that there's no instruction that those five kings put their foot on the necks of those kings, the generals, so to speak, and they did the killing. Only Joshua did the killing. These are things that are too big for us. In fact, in the book of Judges, we just went through it this week. We had a wonderful Bible study. Whoever wants to come, you can come to Friday night. There's a shameless pitch. We had a good meeting. But one of the ones is Judah and Simeon. We're supposed to go out and attack, I think, first. And they went out and attacked, and they took the high country. But they couldn't take the low country because there were chariots of iron. It said, well, I don't see that being a problem to Joshua back here. They didn't have chariots, but you know what they did? They listened to the Lord, and they did exactly what he told them to do. They hamstrung the horses. They took the chariots. That was not a problem to the children of God. But here's the thing. Joshua gave them instruction. The Lord Jesus actually gave them instruction. So training our hands for war and our fingers for battle. Now we're to four things. The assurance of our calling, that we must meet together. We can't do it alone. That Jesus needs our cooperation and our obedience when the time comes and things come into the light. And in every believer's life, and even us corporately as a group of believers, things come into the light. It's not a thing to be scared of. He needs our cooperation. But our practical identification with the cross of Christ, no matter how ugly it is to look at, but being able to look at where things really die and where things are really cured. I mean, I have to say it. I believe it's the testimony of the Word of God that the most vile of person can be set free from the most horrible thing in Christ Jesus. Though I don't agree with the psychologist, sorry. But there's one other thing, and I think we've been going through it today, so I'm going to add that about our practical sanctification. And the Lord spoke of this often. In John 17, he said this, For their sake I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. That they may be sanctified by the truth. Now, in light of what we read today, let's read a real familiar verse. But think about it. These five kings hid in the cave. Things coming to the light that are sometimes not so pleasant. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we're going to say the Word of God, and we know this to be true as we read it, or we wouldn't sit down and read it. Let me just put it that way. We wouldn't read it if this wasn't true. Word of God has the ability to bring things out of the cave, sort of speak, like none other. If we ignore the Word of God, there's going to be problems in our lives that can't be dealt with. There's things that we don't see that the Word of God exposes that are going on, maybe in our lives, that we can't see separate of the Word of God. So all of these things are important. There's our five things, and there's our five practical ways to become warriors in the house of God. The assurance of our calling, that we must meet together to fight together, that Jesus needs our cooperation, our identification with the cross of Christ, and that the Word of God sanctifies like none other. And then I want to close with this, which is verse 27. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees. They cast them in the cave where they had been hidden and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remain until this day. So when God himself, our Joshua, he kills the thing, he throws it in a cave, and he basically makes it unapproachable again. It's only something to be remembered. I mean, what a wonderful picture this is. So, and through it all, I believe, and I have to say, I sense that Jan and I are one of the more blessed people on the face of the earth, and that we have so many trained servants that we're surrounded by. That's a wonderful privilege to have people in the house of God on your side. Jan and I, what we've been going through for the last, well, many years now, but we'd never make it. There's no way. I would, quite frankly, be an alcoholic. I'm sure of it. That's the way, you know, self-medicate. But you guys, by your grace and your help, we stand and we find grace in God's eyes. And the ability to fight. And so do all of you can give a testimony of how good the Lord's been. So let's sing the last
two 222,
yeah.